And welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning the 16th chapter, Perek Tes Zayin of Sefer Yechezkel. This is an extremely long perek. It is of Sabach Gimel, 63 psukim, so it's a much longer perek. But there's really one theme that rides its way all through it. It is essentially a metaphor for the relationship, the historical relationship of Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Klal Yisrael. And the metaphor for this relationship is that of a nobleman who finds a abandoned child, a young girl, and resuscitates her, brings her back to health, brings her into his palace, and allows her to grow up on the lap of luxury. He looks after her until the point that he marries her, and upon marriage, and now she finds herself, she finds her own beauty, she starts to make relationships with other men, and uses everything she's been given to ultimately betray this nobleman who brought her up and ultimately married her. That's the general metaphor, and we're going to see some of the applications along the way. So let's look at the beginning. The first section, we're going to do this in brief sections, Aleph to Hey, is about the sad tale of birth, where Hashem talks about the audience of this prophecy being Yerushalayim. Remember, at this point in time, Yerushalayim has not been destroyed yet. This is Yechezkel sort of prophesizing out to the inhabitants of Yerushalayim that maybe perhaps they can take Musar before it's too late. And we're told that our parents are really the Canaanites and the Hittites. That's what Yerushalayim is being told. You come from sort of the Canaanite origins, and they didn't really take care of you. They just left you after you were born. They didn't really cut the umbilical cord so well. They didn't smooth you out with warm water and soap and salt. They didn't look after you. They just left you and abandoned you in a field. And that's sort of the episode number one. Now, it is curious, before getting to the next step, it is interesting to note, like, why are our parents called the Hittites and the Canaanites? Surely we're from the children of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So Rashi says that, quoting Chazal, that it's because Avraham and Sarah really grew up in the Canaanite culture around them, and they were in fact buried in land bought by, from the Hittites, which means to say that you are subsumed in a culture foreign to yourself, and in a certain sense, you were rejected by a culture, but you carried on going back to adopt it. We're going to see as that comes back later on in the parak. And now, at this point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and what the Malbim says just on that point is, the language of the Malbim is, Ratzala Masha, Adayin lo huvdalu mitumos haKenanim ma'aseihem. At the beginning, you weren't really separate from the Kenanim and their actions and their culture, and it took a lot of work to become who you are, which is what Hashem ultimately did for them. So the next section is how Hashem adopts us. This is the most beautiful section to read. This runs from Pasuk Vav to Yud Gimel, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes how He saved us. He saved us from that field being abandoned, this abandoned child, this abandoned infant. And the famous Pasuk, which is actually quoted at a Bris Milah, it's quoted at the night of the Leil HaSeder, is Va'ayvar alayach ve'erech mismosesis bedomayich, va'amaloch bedomayich chayi bedomayich, va'amaloch bedomayich chayi. Hashem sees you wallowing your bloods, and I said, it's in your bloods that you live, in your bloods that you live. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about how He sees this vulnerable young girl, sort of naked and helpless and vulnerable. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu covers her up and takes her in, and He washes her off like the parents neglected doing. He dresses her in the finest of clothes. He puts bracelets on her arms, a necklace on her neck, a crown on her head, and a nose ring in her nose, and gives only the best food until she was exceedingly beautiful. You became successful for monarchy, beautiful resuscitation, regeneration of this young girl. What is the blood that's being mentioned over here? He sees her wallowing in the bloods. What are these double bloods over here? So the Malbim says it might be the blood of childbirth that she was not cleaned off for, and also the blood of injury, because when she was thrown into the field. So the natural blood of sort of life experience, which the parent is not taken care of, and Hashem is coming in to help with, and the injuries caused by the parent as well. So this is referring to the times in Egypt where the Jews were suffering under the Egyptians out of natural causes and unfortunately human causes, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to resuscitate us from. The Radak says that to be read into this is that somehow the blood itself, the suffering itself, despite that, we are still living. Meaning, even though they, in Egypt they had no time for themselves, they had no time to rest, they had no time to reconstitute who they were, nonetheless, it was despite that, in your blood you will live. So the Radak is making it more connected to the Egypt experience. The Radak then quotes Chazal, who says a most remarkable thing. It's not be despite the blood that you live, it's because of the blood, because there was only two bloods which allowed you to live. These are the Schuyos, the two mitzvahs which I had on their side, and that's the Dam of Bris Milah and the Dam of Korban Pesach, two very much integrally related to mitzvahs. They are the only two positive commandments which have the punishment of Kores, of being excommunicated from the Jewish people upon forfeiting. Very connected mitzvahs. You cannot do a Korban Pesach without doing a Bris Milah, which is why Yeshua, when he brought the Korban Pesach upon crossing the Jordan, as we saw, had to have done Bris Milah beforehand. Very much a connected mitzvah. They did Bris Milah at the end of the Yetzias Mitzrayim episode before Makas Bechoras. So Hashem is saying, I see the bloods of your initial commitment. I can see you want a connection to me. And that's what allowed me to carry you through on the credit of knowing that you would ultimately come down to this fuller relationship later on. And this is why we said at the Bris Milah, and this is why we said on the night of Pesach, because these are the two bloods that Chazal were mentioning. Why? What is the bracelets and the necklace and the nose ring and everything? So Rashi goes on and he quotes the Tirgum, the Aramaic translation, saying, you know, each one is representative of a certain element. So the two bracelets are like the two luchos, which go on each hand, which are like the five fingers, so the sort of the five commandments in each luach, and the two of them come together to Aseres Hadibros. And he goes on to describe how each thing represents a different element or item in Klal Yisrael's history. The Malbim says it's actually more abstract rather than concrete, and it's that Hashem gave us the Torah and Mitzvot, which is our greatest gift, our greatest culture, our greatest identity. And those actually circumscribe everything we do. So for instance, it circumscribes all our senses, our hands for doing, our throat for expression and speaking, our nose for smell and the spiritual sense of things, and our ears for hearing. So all these jewels are being given are not specific assets or elements in history, but they're all the mitzvahs which circumscribe all these senses. It is interesting just to notice that the Malbim does leave out where sight falls into this, but that's worthwhile thinking about. Now at this point in time, unfortunately, things turn south. And the next section in Pasuk Yudalit to Chof Beis, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about how we start getting arrogant and well-known. People start saying, oh, look, that's Mrs. So-and-so. This is, we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, you know, special nation. And we were aware of our beauty, and our beauty led us to arrogance, which led to adultery. And we started now fraternizing with other nations, who did not deserve us. And we use the beautiful clothes that Hashem gave us, and the tone of the section is, everything I gave you, says Hashem to Bnei Israel, you used your clothes, your wealth, your food, you used it for images, for incense, for breads of sacrifice, your children to be sacrificed to these gods. Meaning everything I did to build you up, it's almost like you're using that same energy for exactly to undermine me and my purpose in this world. And it seems like that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger and pain is not just because of what they're doing, but they're doing it with the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael, all the beauty that he gave them, the wisdom, the we'll call it the culture, is being misappropriated for Avodah Zarah. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it goes further than that. In the next section, this goes to the next extreme. This is from Pasuk Chaf Gimel to the end of this section of Lamed Hey, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but it gets even worse. Oi, oi, lachon, Hashem lakim. Woe, woe be to you, says Hashem. Why? Because you know what? You had adultery, this infidelity that had happened between me and you, that you went out and you had infidelity with Bnei Mitzrayim, and with the Plishtim, and with Ashur, Assyria, and Kastima, with the Kastim, which is the Babylonians. All of these people you had adultery with, meaning to say, one nation after the next, you allied yourself and you thought to find power with them. Like Hezekiah brings in Bavel into his throne chambers to show them his armory when Assyria was at the gates. But then it was Egypt when Babylon looked too dangerous. So each nation, you use allies, and you thought your power was vested in these relationships. And in fact, the refrain of the section is "Vatirbi es taznuseich," that you increased your adultery all the more so. In fact, the pasuk which sort of just expresses the horror of this whole situation is "Vayehi ba in lamedaled hepech min anoshim betaznuseich." You're worse than any adulterer. First of all, you weren't chaste. You chased, and also you did not take. You did not return to get the esnan. Esnan is what the word the Torah uses is the fair paid for by a person who is consorting with a prostitute. That would be what the man would give the zona, the prostitute. So what he's saying is you didn't even take that. The way the Malbim explains this is that usually that it would be that the men would go out and find people to adulterate with. Here you are the woman in the relationship going out. So you're going against the natural grain of things. And more than that, in fact, you would even bribe people for your own services. That's how disgusting it was, says the Malbim. Is you're going out there and you're paying others to have a relationship with you. Could there be anything more disgusting? And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, that's what you did, Israel. You sought alliances. You gave everything just to have an alliance with somebody else besides for me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what's happening over here. And therefore, in retribution to this, we'll read in the next section. But before we get to the next section, just one thing interesting to note is that if you contrast these two paragraphs of Israel's sin, the first one focuses on Avodah Zarah, the second one focuses on foreign alliances, which are two different sins. We saw at the beginning of Bayis Rishon was mainly Avodah Zarah. Towards the end, it was actually more the alliances than Avodah Zarah specifically. So worth thinking about those two different those different problems that were created. Then the retribution from Lamed Vav all the way through the next section to Mem Gimel is retribution. And the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it is, he's going to bring all the lovers, our illicit lovers of Klal Yisrael, bring them all against us, and we'll be judged in front of them for adultery and for murder, and they will bruise us and they will strip us of our clothes until leaving us naked. So we're bringing us back to that point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustained us. We're being brought back to that place, and they will stone us and burn our houses, and in his anger will be consumed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then there'll be signs. So Sara Kinasi Mimech V'Shokatati V'Loyachos Oid, and that point I'll be quiet and there'll be no longer anger. So why is murder being brought in over here? It's the Maradak says, whenever there's twisted love, there's always murder. It leads to these kind of things. And he has interesting options as to what that could mean in Nimshal, worth thinking about. What does it mean leaving us naked? So the Mitzvah says is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow our enemies, the ones who we thought we could trust, the Egyptians and the Babylonians and the Syrians, all the people we thought would help us by when we were using them for another nation against us, well, they'll destroy our towers and our bamos. That means to say our sacrifice and our expressions of sovereignty. So both sins are being addressed in being laid bare once again. The next section, Mem Dalet to towards the very end, Nun Ches, is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about is that we're like our mother. The way he says it is Ki Ima Bita, like the mother is the daughter. Meaning to say, going back to the original setup in this parak, the framework was that we are like the children of the Emori, of the Canaanites, of the Chittites. So we're going to be acting in the ways the people around us. In which way? Well, our bigger sister is Shomron, and our little sister is Sodom. So we're sort of surrounded. The kingdom of Yehuda, Yerushalayim, is being addressed now. The biggest sister, obviously, because the 10 tribes were Shomron, which was a tremendously problematic area for many, many of its years, which served Avodah Zarah. And Sodom on the right hand side, on the east. So they're sort of surrounded by these two terrible places. But we did worse than all of them. We did worse than Sodom. We did worse than Shomron. And the Rabbanel consolidates the psukim into the three sins of Sodom. One is arrogance from complacency, lack of kindness, as we know from Sodom, from the earlier times of Sodom, and immorality. So meaning to say, everything that they did, Yehuda and Yerushalayim took to a further degree, which is shocking, because we sometimes think that Nebach, Shomron was bad, and Sodom was certainly terrible, but Yehuda wasn't so bad. They just didn't, you know, correct themselves. So what Yechezkel is saying in uncertain terms over here is you're actually worse than both of them. And finally, at the last section of this parak, just to conclude this, because it's an extremely long parak, Nuntes to Samach Gimel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but I remember my covenant, and I'm going to remember you, and I'm going to give you kapar. And the last pasuk that he says is, why? Leman tizkri uvoisht. Vavoshed, that you're going to remember and be embarrassed. V'lo yelach od pischon peh, mimnei klimoseich b'chaprilach ez kol asherosis. When I give you kapara, when I give you atonement, you're going to be so embarrassed you'll have no way to argue about what you did. Ne'um Hashem Elokim, says Hashem. And Abarbanel explains what this means to say is that you reneged on your and you forgot me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I forgot you. But ultimately, the one who came back was me. I remembered my contract with you. I remember my covenant with you when I took you in, even though you don't remember when you went and you made all these terrible relationships in my face, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So ultimately, even though we're the one who initiated the breaching of the relationship, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to initiate the bringing back of this relationship, which will put us in a very embarrassing situation, but at the same time also remind us of just how important and how necessary our relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam truly is. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.